In 1 Corinthians chapter 8, Paul is answering questions that these Corinthian Christians had about the subject of eating things offered to idols. This may not be a subject that is very relevant today. As far as most people are concerned, this is a subject that is just not pertinent to their situation. However, the principles that Paul lays down about this topic in 1 Corinthians chapter 8 apply to many other situations that we do face in our time, and as society becomes more culturally diverse, we're going to need these principles even more. We're talking about matters of culture, matters of indifference, matters where God has not said that the particular thing is either right or wrong. It just depends on the situation and the circumstances. And so, although we don't commonly hear questions about eating things offered to idols, we need to look at these principles and be ready to apply them to other situations as well. So the question, or the set of questions, involved this. Some of these Christians at Corinth had been idolaters. They lived in a city full of idols. And some of these Christians wondered about whether you should eat food that had been previously offered in worship to an idol. And the custom, the practice in Corinth, was similar to what was practiced in other cities. People would bring certain gifts to idols. They would lay those items down before that idol, and they would give or sacrifice whatever it was that they were giving. So the item could have been money, it could have been food, it could have been meats or vegetables or fruit. And what often happened is that the people who were in charge of that idol worship would take that food before it decayed, before it rotted, and they would either give it away or they would sell it. Some people would buy that food and use it for their own purposes. Some vendors would buy meat from these idol worship places, and then they would sell it in the markets. And so some of these Christians in the church at Corinth raised the question, if I'm buying meat from a marketplace and I find out that that meat has been previously offered to an idol, would it be wrong for me to buy that meat and to eat it? Would I be endorsing that idol? Would I be participating in idol worship just by eating that meat? Now, Paul's simple answer to that question is this: no. Because you're not worshiping that idol. You're not there when it's offered. In your mind, you have nothing to do with that idol. It is just meat. You can either eat it or not, and that idol is nothing. But Paul says that some of the early Christians didn't understand that. And so they thought that if you bought meat that had been offered to an idol and then you ate that meat, that you were sinning. They thought that that was wrong. That was their personal conviction. Now, that was not some kind of gripe that they had. It was not just some kind of fleeting opinion that they held to. This was a matter of their conscience. They could not, in good conscience, buy and eat that meat. Now, how do you deal with a situation like that then, where you have some in the congregation who know better and some in the congregation who don't understand? Well, that's where Paul begins in this chapter by saying, if you know better, then don't be arrogant about it and don't look down your nose at the people who fail to understand that. Be patient and love those people and try to edify them. That's why he says that knowledge puffs up, but love edifies. Then, beginning in verse 8, he gives the principles about dealing with matters like this. Let's begin reading in 1 Corinthians 8, verse 7, and read down through the rest of the chapter. He says in verse 7, howbeit, there is not in every man that knowledge. And he's talking about the knowledge of being able to separate idol worship from eating something that had been offered to an idol. Not everybody understands that, even in the church. For some, he says, with conscience, that is, with an awareness, with a consciousness of the idol, unto this hour, eat it as a thing offered to an idol, and their conscience, being weak, is defiled. Paul said that there were some Christians that simply could not separate these things in their minds. And if they found out that meat that was sold in a marketplace was meat that came from an idol temple, they would refuse to eat it. Now, what Paul says then in verse 8 is that it doesn't make any difference either way. You can either eat that meat or not eat that meat. Verse 8 says, "But meat commendeth us not to God. For neither if we eat are we the better, neither if we eat not are we the worse." So Paul says it doesn't make any difference spiritually whether you do this or not. However, he does say this beginning in verse 9, "But take heed, be careful, lest by any means this liberty of yours become a stumbling block to them that are weak." If you know better, if you understand that eating this meat is not sinful, be careful about your actions. Be careful about your attitude toward the people that think that that is a sin. And he explains something in verse 10 about that. He says in verse 10, "For if any man see thee which hast knowledge," that is the knowledge about these matters of eating meats offered to idols. He says, "If he sees you sit at meat in the idol's temple, shall not the conscience of him which is weak," that is a Christian who thinks that it is a sin to eat those foods, "shall he not be emboldened," he said, "to eat those things which are offered unto idols?" And again, he thinks that that is a sin now because his conscience condemns that. And he says in verse 11, "And through thy knowledge shall the weak brother perish, for whom Christ died. But when you sin so against the brethren and wound their weak conscience, you sin against Christ." So what he's saying here then is that if a Christian thinks that it's wrong to do this, then don't try to encourage him to do it. Now, of course, in the meantime, you need to be trying to teach and to edify. That's what Paul is doing in this book. Paul plainly says to this whole congregation, and he knew when he wrote this, he knew when he said in verse 8 that it doesn't make any difference whether you eat that meat or not. He knew that that would be read by and read to not only the stronger members, but to the weak members who thought it was a sin. So he's trying to teach them. But at the same time, he's saying, be gentle with those people, be patient with those people, and don't try to push them into or rush them into doing something that they cannot conscientiously do. What does he mean in verse 10, and what is he talking about when he mentions a brother sitting at meat in the idol's temple? Why would a Christian be involved in something like that? And he says that that was a matter of liberty, but don't abuse that liberty. Why wouldn't Paul just say that you have no business being in the idol's temple to begin with? The key to understanding this is the word temple. What do you think of when you see the words idol's temple? You usually look at one structure. You're thinking about one building where you have these idols, and there's nothing else to do in there but either to look at those idols or to worship those idols. And he's talking about somebody sitting down and eating food in the idol's temple. So we look at it as one building or one structure. However, archaeologists have found in the city of Corinth that these idol temples were connected to other buildings. And so many times people would refer to that temple or that idol's temple when they were actually talking about some of the other structures, some of the other rooms or buildings that were connected with it. Now, for instance, you could have the idol temple proper where people worshiped the idol, but then you would also have a dining room and other places that people went to for other purposes. So there could be government buildings, there could be shops, and there would be restaurants, as we would say, or open-air dining places there. All of that was called the temple of that particular idol. Now, that's something that is strange to us, perhaps, but you have to realize this is the mindset of these people. So he's not talking about a Christian going into the idol temple proper and worshiping an idol and eating a meal that is offered in worship of and honor to that idol. That's not what he means. The idol's temple there refers to all those other structures and buildings, and so he's talking about a Christian going into one of those buildings or one of those open-air shops with all kinds of columns around it and he buys some food, and he begins to eat that food that had been previously offered to an idol. This man has nothing to do with idolatrous worship. He's not worshiping, and he knows that it's just meat. And so where the meat came from is not the important thing. Paul says that doesn't matter because you're not worshiping that idol when you eat that food. But he says, suppose that one of these Christians whose conscience condemns that, if he were to sit down and eat that food that has been offered to an idol, he would sin because his conscience condemns it. Even though it's not wrong in itself, he would sin against his conscience. So be careful about trying to flaunt your liberty in front of him. That's what Paul is saying, because one of those weak Christians might see you do that, and he might be encouraged or emboldened to go against his conscience, and you don't want that to happen. So Paul's attitude, which should have been the attitude of these people and ought to be our attitude today, is found in verse 13. Wherefore, if meat make my brother to offend, I will eat no flesh while the world stands, lest I make my brother to offend. Now, the word offend there is also a word that is oftentimes misunderstood. It doesn't mean simply to bother somebody. It doesn't mean simply to hurt somebody's feelings. The word offend there means to put a stumbling block there and to cause somebody to sin. The sin here is the sin of going against his own conscience, even in areas that are indifferent, even in areas that are not wrong in and of themselves. Paul said, I'm willing to make that personal sacrifice. Now again, he's not talking about a situation here where some brother just has a gripe, that he doesn't like this or he doesn't like that, and so he criticizes another Christian for doing it. No, this is talking about something more serious and a matter where the Christian is sincere. This is something that a Christian cannot do, and if he were to do it, even though it's not a sin in and of itself, if he does it, he would sin because his conscience condemns him. Now, what are some modern-day applications of the principles that we're looking at here? Well, here's one. Suppose that you're studying with a Jew who doesn't believe in eating pork. Suppose that you convert that person, you've baptized him, and he is a new Christian. So he's still learning, and he's still trying to understand that the law of Moses doesn't apply anymore, especially on matters like eating pork. You wouldn't want to bring that person to your house and cook pork and set it before him. Why? Because he doesn't understand yet that it's not sinful to eat that pork, so you need to be patient with him. There are some restaurants and some marketplaces today that sell what is called halal certified meat. What that means is that meat has been blessed by a Muslim in honor of their religion. And that's very close to the situation that Paul is describing here. And so Paul's principle is simply this. It doesn't make any difference where the food came from. It doesn't make any difference what somebody said over that food before it was later sold, because you have no connection religiously with what was done previously to that food. But if your conscience condemns eating that food, then by all means, don't eat it. And especially when you're dealing with somebody that has just been converted out of that religion, be patient with them and make sure that you try to teach them. The same thing would apply to burning incense in a foreign land especially. In Buddhist and Taoist cultures, which are common in Chinese culture, you find that people commonly burn incense, which are just these sticks that they burn almost on a daily basis, as a religious ritual. Now, there's nothing wrong with burning a stick called incense, but in the minds of some, that is equivalent to worshiping an idol or worshiping some kind of god. So in that kind of situation, you would want to be careful. These are just a few modern-day examples that show that Paul is talking about far more than just eating things offered to idols.